Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson and Kyle Quinn with you. Caleb Flieger is behind the glass in for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas.
Slackers.
Kyle will be back producing the two of them on Monday. And Kyle, we got to get to a few orders of business here before we get back to the phone lines. Two things. Number one, so since you are going to be back with those guys on Monday, a number of callers have already called in today and wished Happy New Year. Now, really quick, before we get into any of this, if you had to say, you know, what do you think the statute of limitations on saying Happy New Year is? Like, what's the ruling here?
So,
and Caleb, if you want to get in on this, feel free.
I'm not in general, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a curmudgeon. I'm never a big, like, Merry Christmas guy.
Happy New Year, guy.
Hey, hope you're doing all right.
Doesn't matter if it's January 1st.
If I had to put, I guess, the limit on it, I would say you can't ever say it to a person twice, or like multiple times.
Okay,
it's the first time I've seen you.
But there's still got to be a limit, though, because let's say I don't see a friend till June.
Right. Okay. I will give it. I'll say at most, like where it starts to feel weird is by week two after.
Okay. Like so you give it a week.
Yes,
you give it a week.
A week following, you know, if you haven't seen somebody within that time period, then it's like, how often do you see this person anyway? Right? Are they really that close?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or how often do you talk to this person, I should say, because you might not get to see everybody. But
of course,
you're not talking to somebody for, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's a hard line for me. I think you just got to have a feel, man.
Caleb, how long are you saying Happy New Year in there?
It has to be, you have to give it at least a week. The first week
of
January.
1 week.
Exactly. Give it 7 days. Then after that, you're good. Because obviously in that first week, you're getting back to work. You're seeing people you haven't seen because of the holidays and that type of thing. So you have to say your Happy New Year's to those people. But after that first week, you got to cut it out. You can't keep doing it.
So I don't know about you guys, but when I have a moral dilemma, I turn to my hero, Larry David.
Oh, yeah. He's always got the answers.
He's got the answers to everything, right? He, when it comes to dealing with people, he's got a certain way with people.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to solve all of our social dilemmas, right?
I guess you could say that. He knows how to start them,
how to start them, that's for sure. So this was from a Curb episode years ago. It is January 3rd, so we had to play this. This was from a Curb episode years ago on Larry David's rule of thumb. How long you can say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year.
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Why? Just happened a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's too long. Statute of limitations is kind of run out on the New Year's. 3 days. Plenty.
3 days.
By the way, everything doesn't have to be happy. Well, why does everything have to be happy?
Kyle, this is the last day you can say Happy New Year.
Wow.
So
giving it 2 days?
Well, 3 days.
Three days.
Today is January 3rd, so get all your Happy New... If you haven't texted anyone, if you haven't seen anyone, make sure you get them in by midnight tonight.
Yeah.
You have a 72-hour window. By the time you... You know, if anyone Happy New Year's me on my overnight show coming up this weekend,
uh-oh,
I'm hanging up on them.
Dump them. Yep.
And if anyone tries to Happy New Year you on the phone when they call in on Monday...
Hang up.
I want you hanging up immediately. I don't care if it's a guest. I don't care.
If it's Seth, I'm not the one that's Seth.
Seth Joyner calls in. Hey, Happy New Year, man.
Seth will come kick my ass. Dude.
Go to hell.
Yeah. I was already sweating when I heard him just ask you a question.
Yeah, he's going to start asking
hang
you up,
on
the air. And if Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas, yeah. they try and wish the audience a Happy New Year, cut them off.
Yep. Rod will appreciate that if I'm cutting their mics off.
They missed their opportunity to do it by not working this week. If anyone says it on the air, they're dumped off. Today's the last day. Mm-hmm.
So, and this is going to sound like I don't have a take here. I do. I guess the way I would put it is that it should be a feel thing. I don't think setting a hard date for it is appropriate. I think
I'll tell you why there's got to be a hard cutoff, right? Because again, Robbie and I were on the other day on New Year's Day, and we quickly tossed this back and forth.
Yep.
Rob, by the way, wants to give everyone the whole month, which I think is preposterous.
Yeah,
January 31st. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And people are like, well, you know, it's different. Have you seen the person yet? But there still needs to be a rule because, again, you know, I don't know. Like, if you don't see someone, there are people who you might only see during the summer or you might only see every once in a while.
That's preposterous.
If I don't see my neighbor till April and I see them in April, I'm not going, hey, man, Happy New Year.
No.
So there still has to be there's got to be a last date for it.
Well, so here's the thing. I think the cutoff doesn't necessarily have to be a date. It has to be, think about in your mind, you know, when you went back to school, like you were talking about yesterday on January 1st, how long did it take you for you to stop forgetting to write 2025 on the top of your papers?
Within a week.
Okay. So I think that's the hard cutoff. Once
you start running 25.
Yeah, once the new year
Once
the new year is no longer like fresh in your mind, like where you have to remind yourself, oh yeah, it's 2025, that's when I think it's no longer appropriate. That's why, so it's hard for me to just put a date on it. I think it's a feel thing. Because today, just it being January 3rd and I came in today at work and I was accidentally dating stuff 24 because I'm just used to it.
It's your first day in 25.
Yeah, and like I'm still feeling like it is a new year. Like there is in the back of my head, I have that feel that this is a new year. So I think it'll be appropriate for today, you know, maybe tomorrow. Like just as soon as it's out of my head and that it's no longer at the top of my mind that we are like in a new year or the beginning of a new year, then no more.
Listen, some of us move on faster than others.
That's right.
I get it. In just a minute here, I will give you a couple of takes from working this week on the midday show. But first, we say a good morning to Steve in Marlton. Steve, Happy New Year. Last day to get it out.
Happy New Year. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Doing well.
I was calling about Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, I know a lot of talk about Saquon Barkley, and I mean, yes, I'd like to see him do it, but you know what? I get it. I care more about the Super Bowl and advancing in the postseason. But if you go back to September, there's a reason we started 2-2. They did not play in the preseason, and we saw the effects of that. And then once everything, they got the bye week and injuries and whatever, they went to the owner or they went to the GM and the coach and talked about run the ball more, we adjusted. I don't want that to happen in the postseason. I need him to go out there, get a drive or two in. This is Jalen Hurts. I need him to go out there, get that drive or two in, and make sure he's okay for the postseason. Because I don't want to go in with a 3-week bye, and then it all goes to you know what, because he decided to sit for 3 weeks.
Set a tone. You know what I envision? You know, everyone's all sitting here scared, right, that he's going to look rusty in that wild card round. You know what I'm picturing? Just everyone's expecting him to run the ball early, trying to establish Saquon after he rests here. You know, maybe we get a little bit of what happened on that famous Monday night with Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson. Just a bomb to A.J. Brown. Just to signal to the Packers and to the link, get everyone going. Like, we're back, we're ready to rock, and we showed up.
Well, I mean, I guess the downside to that is, and I'm going back to earlier this season, they didn't play at all in the preseason, and they were playing the Packers.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they took a deep shot like right away, and Jalen Hurts threw a pick.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know what, Kyle? They'll never see it coming twice.
That's true. If it doesn't work,
right. Run it back.
So that's my big concern. I'm not willing to take that risk. So I mean, if he's still in protocol, then that's it.
Yeah,
you know, we can't put
him
out there. I get it, but obviously, they know more than we do. I don't know. I want him to be out there for at least a drive or two just to get back in the rhythm. I don't want his first drive to be against the Packers.
Yeah. And look, Steve, I'm not trying to like bring everybody down with this whole, like, I'm worried about this, worried about that. Like, we are entering the postseason. We're about to head into a very important month for the, I mean, the most important month of the entire season for the Eagles. And I just think it's worthwhile for all of us to sit here and besides just the usual, you know, the Eagles, best team in football. Like, I love that. And I mostly agree with that. I think the Eagles are, you know, they have just as good of a shot as anybody to win the Super Bowl. But if I were, you know, on Detroit radio or Buffalo radio or even Chiefs radio, right, I would have to sort of think about everything that can go right and can go wrong. And I just, you know, this is the one thing that's sort of been staring me in the face. It's like that meme of the guy like creeping over his shoulder and he's shaking and sweating because like it's just lingering there. And now with this buildup of 3 weeks where Jalen Hurts has not seen meaningful action in a football game, it's hard for me to just sit here and ignore the possibility of that biting us in the first round of the playoffs.
Agree 1,000%. So wanted to say that. And then two other things that you guys had mentioned just real quick. Daylight savings time, 1,000% agree. I hate dark.
I feel like everyone hates it.
Yeah.
Like who's still in on daylight savings?
I don't know.
Yeah, we need to switch to that permanently. That way everybody's happy because the clocks never change again, but it's still dark out at 5:30 in the wintertime. Like, so there's that. And then the Flyers, yes. 4 for 4. Eagles my second. Flyers my top favorite. Oh, I want to stand with them.
Love it.
Hey, Steve, quickly, what's something that's long overdue?
I'll go with a Flyer Stanley Cup.
Oh, no, stolen.
Taking Kyle's answer. Steve, we appreciate the call. I think there are a lot of people. Listen,
look, when you're right, you're right.
You know how you know it's getting long overdue? So the Stanley Cup, by the way, is by far the coolest trophy
that's
in
awesome.
Sports.
Yep.
And they put all the names on it.
Yeah.
So I think in the year 2031, the Flyers are coming off because you have a...
Yes. Yep.
You have like a...
There's only limited space.
There's only limited space. Now... The one in the Hall of Fame, they keep adding to that.
Okay.
But the Stanley Cup that actually gets handed out, I think it's 2031. You basically have like a 60 to 72 year run, and then every 12 years they got to add another layer.
So you said next year it's coming off?
No, 2031.
Oh, 31. Oh.
I believe.
All right. You know what? Then they need to make that the mission. That seems it's a little far away. Hopefully it happens sooner than that, but they cannot allow – they need to be on there twice. The top and the bottom.
Because obviously they have 74, 75.
Yep.
Like Bernie Perrant's name's coming off the cup soon.
Yes. They can't allow that to happen. That'd be a disaster.
It'd be kind of nice if they could get themselves back in there. We stick our faith in Jonesy. Let's get in JT and Langhorne, and then I'm going to give you my midday show takes. What's up, JT? JT. Let's put JT back on hold. We say good morning to Frankie in Horsham. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, how are you guys today?
What's up, Frankie?
Doing well.
Well, I was talking to the producer earlier and, while I'm waiting. And what I understand is, it's concussion protocol. But hasn't our quarterback spoken out, on his opinion? Is he that oblivious of what's going on here?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I understand your question, Frankie.
Well, hasn't he spoken out on his opinion?
Well, no, he can't. I mean, he can't speak to the media. Oh, Jalen? No. Well, he's in concussion protocol, so he's not doing press conferences or anything.
I understand that, but can you tell me, guy, like Dan Marino or Joe Mantana or Joe Mantana?
Who?
Oh,
Montana.
And they give their opinion.
Oh,
I mean, fine. If they're going to play, I mean, okay, that's fine. And now the Eagles got to go with a rookie. And I don't be pessimistic about this. I don't think the Eagles are going to be Green Bay.
Well, so, Frankie,
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I think it's hard if you're Nick Sirianni to ask the quarterback who's not playing in the game. Like, if he's not cleared concussion protocol. It's not up to Jalen.
Just on the Dan Marino, Joe Montana point, the concussion protocol in the year, 2025.
Yes, a bit different.
It's much different than when those guys played back then. Again, if you've never seen the movie Concussion, I highly recommend it. The NFL has a long history of not dealing with these things properly.
Nope.
It's not really up to the Eagles. Okay, I'm not a doctor. I just know that the league has a long history of...
Still a little shaky.
Football is a contact sport, and sometimes it...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Involves blows to the head, right? Some doctors would probably tell you just don't play football, but
rub some dirt
rub some dirt on it. That's not the reality of the situation. It's not up to the Eagles. They have to comply with the concussion protocol of the league. Okay. Yeah, Jalen Hurts isn't going to comment on this. He might think he's fine. Like, we were talking to, from down the hall, KOAW's Dave, you ran before the show. Like, the video of him and Saquon Barkley giving the golf carts was on Christmas Eve, so that's more than a week ago. Yeah. He was in concussion protocol at that point, so he can still, like, seemingly walk okay. Doesn't mean his decision-making's going to be good enough to play in an NFL game.
No, and we have no idea where he's at in the concussion protocol whatsoever.
What stage?
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure if this was Frankie's point, but he was talking about, I guess, should they have left it up to Jalen Hurts, or should he have had a say in it? I mean, if it doesn't look like he's going to play...
Yeah, he doesn't have to say in concussion protocol.
And also, that feels like something that's more of, well, Jalen Hurts is a part of the team, big part of the record and all that. That feels like more of, if you were going to elicit the opinion of people on the team, it's Saquon one, and then the
offensive line. I actually like, and I discussed this with Al yesterday, the Eagles, you got to be careful. When you take input from your players, or if you're running a business from your employees, not to make it so that the inmates are running the asylum, for lack of a better way of putting it, right? Sure. Like, Nick Sirianni took the advice of his offensive line in week 5 of the bye to make this a more run-heavy offense. And that's the only reason Saquon Barkley's even in this position to begin with.
Yeah.
And whether it was his decision or the front office's, like, you can hear their input, be like, we're going to weigh what everything has to say and still make a decision that contradicts that. Yeah. But if you just go with everything the players want you to do, they're competitors. They want to be out.
Sure.
I'm sure Jalen Hurts wants to be out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure these guys want to be out there. Any player with any lick of competitive juice is going to want to be out there every single time. It's why when Rob Thompson goes to the mound and Zach Wheeler's arm's about to fall off, he goes, no, I got one more for you, Skip. Yeah. And then Rob Thompson has to look his star in the eye and go, no, we'd rather Matt Strom.
And be the adult in the room.
Be the adult in the room.
Right.
And this felt like a big boy decision. Mm-hmm. It felt like, listen, we listen to you sometimes. We value what you have to say. You're valued players here. But it doesn't mean we listen to you always. That's part of the reason I like this.
Yeah. And I guess I'm just sort of, the only thing that bothers me about it a little bit, if this were Sirianni saying, I'm going to be the adult in the room, I'm going to make the decision, I don't think you even go and ask Saquon his feelings on it. Then it just adds a whole element of...
Like, why'd you ask?
Yeah, why did you ask him if you weren't going to...
No, I think you only ask him if it actually weighed in at all.
If that was going to sway your opinion. And it clearly didn't. So it's
I don't fully agree with that. It could have. If you go ask Saquon, the entire offensive line, Stoutland, we don't know how they all voted behind closed doors. There's a chance it could have.
Yeah. But I also think putting it up to a team vote is not the way to do it either. Because then you're sort of... taking sides in the locker room almost, and you don't, like,
I don't think N'Kobe Dean should have had a vote here.
Well, sure, right. I guess
I'm not saying ask the whole locker room.
The people who it matters to.
Yeah.
But I think the best way for him to do it would have just been to not ask anybody and say, look, this is the decision I made. You have to respect it. I'm the head coach. As opposed to, doing some crowd work and figuring out what Saquon wants, what Mailata wants, what Lane wants, and then making your decision. If you weren't really good, because I think the number one person that should have had the decision or the opinion is Saquon. And if he said yeah, and it really seemed like he wanted to do it just based on how he looked after we found out what the decision was, then I feel like you kind of have to defer to him a little bit. But
215-592-9494 is how you join the show. All right, we'll get back to the phones in just a little bit here. But Kyle, I've been hosting this midday show all week on Tuesday with Al Morgani. On New Year's Eve, Wednesday, New Year's Day with Rob Ellis, Thursday with Al Morgani, again with Al Morgani, and now Friday hosting alongside you. And it's been a pleasure to fill in for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas. Love listening to those guys. And it's really a great time slot for someone like myself who hosts a lot of nights, weekends. Coming in here and actually feeling like having a normal schedule that is parallel to what my friends are always doing, working nine to five. I'm actually available at night or on the weekend. It was kind of nice to do that for a week, live a real life corporate job, and host here, during the day. But it's what we do around here. Mm-hmm. I got takes about everything. So I have three takes. I actually added a fourth here during this segment.
I like it. Okay.
Four takes about the midday show that I need to chime in on.
All right. Now, I'm a little nervous.
And usually on Fridays, we actually have a sponsor sponsor for this segment.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Usually you guys would do Q&A on Fridays, but today my midday show takes are sponsored by the Jug Handle Inn, award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Spread your wings and rediscover the jug. All right, Kyle. So first off, we do some math here in the last break. We're not usually math guys, but I did run the numbers. Had someone tweeted us. I fact-checked it. And so you were asking, you guys made a bet, you and Joe,
yes,
that Hugh Douglas has to dye his beard green because he thinks defense is a luxury. Mm-hmm. If the Eagles, we're going to have to uncover some audio here at some point.
Mm.
Did you guys say if it's 17 points or less?
Yeah, 17. Okay. So if it were 17, that qualifies as him losing the bet.
Okay, so I absolutely think, this is my first take, that you and Joe should try and take him up on a bit of a technicality.
Mm.
And I think rounding down is perfectly acceptable in this case.
Okay.
So I ran the math. If the Eagles allow 0 points this week against the Giants, which
possible.
Is not that far-fetched, yep. to be honest. I know it's the backups. Mm-hmm. The Eagles' defense will finish the year, the regular season, with 17.04 points allowed.
That's a round down situation.
That's a round down type of situation. 17.04. If you look up NFL opponent points per game, they only do it to the 10th decimal.
One decimal, right.
So that would round down to 17.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's another thing. You could try and get them on a technicality.
Yeah.
Let's say they allow like a touchdown or something and it ends just 17.4, anything below 17.5. Mm. You could still try and get them on the round down situation. But in particular, if they allow like a touchdown or less in this game, we could be looking at a round down 17 points.
Yeah.
Also, the Eagles' defense right now is third in points allowed. The only teams above them. So they currently have allowed 18.1 points per game through 16.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are at 18 flat. The Chargers at 17.6. I don't know. If the Eagles have the number one defense in the league in terms of points allowed, and you can round it down to 17, I think Hugh's got to dye the beard.
I think he does too, and here's what I'll say.
He's not Joe DeCamera.
He'll be a man about it. Yeah, he won't weasel out. I will say this. It might not even have to come down to getting him on a technicality. Something Hugh and Joe and I do very often on this show is bully Hugh Douglas.
Okay, yeah.
So we might just be able to bully him into doing
anyway.
This anyway. Yeah, so we might not even need a technicality. It will go to the board, and we will consider that. But we might just be able to razz him into doing it anyway.
It was a good over-under. Whoever said it, you or Joe,
yeah,
it was a good over-under.
It was.
Like it was pretty close.
We nailed that line, man.
But so, yeah, you were coming in here today saying like it's at 18.1.
Yeah, it's looking like it's over.
What
yeah.
it looked like. No.
Yeah.
Don't say it's over yet.
It's not. Not until the fat lady sings.
Not until the
and if that's appropriate, still in 2025.
All right. So I got a couple more takes I'm going to run by you here before the break. Number one, or number two, I guess, after the Hugh thing. This is a weird thing for me. I know you're not going to agree with it. No one else is. But because we work a lot of weird hours in this industry, I do overnights on the weekend. I work a lot of evenings here. Mm-hmm. I tend to stay up late and sleep in late, kind of like a college student's type of schedule. Yeah, I'm a night owl. Being a night owl, so you got to shift your sleep schedule to whatever shift you're working here. I actually have an easier time waking up when I'm filling in producing the morning show than I did for this shift. And I want to explain why. So for the morning show, you get here like 4 a.m., you got to get up around 3. It's basically a glorified nap. I'll stay up, like during the summer, I filled in with them a lot. I stay up, I watch the Phillies game, I'll put something else on. I'm going to bed like midnight or 1. I can't go to bed earlier than like midnight or 1 a.m. And then it's like a glorified nap. So I just lay down for a couple hours and I come in, and it's like I've barely fallen asleep. That nap is good enough to get me through the show. I go back home, I go to bed. Getting up for this shift is... I set the alarm for like 6:30, 7 a.m. this week.
Yep.
And that's enough where, and I'm going to be here for long enough. I'm not going back to sleep after the show.
Okay.
It felt like I was waking up for high school again.
So I guess I see where you're coming from. And I totally understand that if you're not in like a rhythm, right? If you're doing overnight one day and then morning show the next and stuff like that, it's super tough to get.
And I got into a rhythm this week, but it's like, wow,
yeah.
I'm getting up with the rest of people.
Yes.
The subway was packed.
I will say,
Maybe if I got used to it more.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, I did do the morning show helping out with Angelo and the crew for a while.
And I would fill in for you or Ava sometimes,
correct,
too. Yeah.
And that was a situation where, like you said, you're up at 3 or 4 in the morning. That, to me...
It's like you're just up late.
Right,
it doesn't even feel like the morning at that point. Yeah.
And you're right that everything good is on, you know, during the time that you might need to be catching up on sleep at night, the Phillies or, you know,
see,
whatever.
During the day.
Football game. Yeah. But I will say one thing I never got used to within, like, my rhythm there was your alarm waking you up at 3 or 4 in the morning. Like, that just always was jarring
to me. Never feels
natural. It always sucked. It's always dark out. Like, at least if I'm getting up here at 7 a.m. or something, like, there's light outside. And
I don't
I'm like, okay, it's time to get up.
Really quick, because I don't fully understand, like, the science of sleep, but I guess if I had only been out for a couple of hours,
right,
like, the alarm goes off, I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah.
Waking up, you know, these past couple of mornings, it's like, this is it, and I'm kind of slow.
You get used to it.
And you hit the snooze a couple times. I don't know. That was just because I had hit a deeper sleep. Okay. It was harder to get myself out of it. All right, number two. Because I was on with Seth Joyner yesterday. Me and Al had Seth Joyner on yesterday. Yep. He obviously asked us a question. The interview was, you know, like 15 minutes long. And at the end of the interview, I was like, ah, thanks for coming on. I know it wasn't the usual host. And he thanked us for giving him a little bit more airtime than Joe and Hugh do. I think you got, and also, you guys used to have Al Morgani on the show a lot, and he mentioned he hasn't really been up to a lot.
Right, we need Al on more often. Man.
I think you got to let both Seth and Al cook a little bit more.
So, not up to me. I mean, I can
push. Listen, you're in those meetings, push it a little bit.
I can push for more Al on the show.
And a little bit more Seth time.
Yeah, but
got some good stuff out of him.
I'm passing the buck on the Seth thing. One, because I don't want him to come in and kick my ass.
Sure.
And two, like, that interview goes for as long as Joe and Hugh will allow it. So if I have my way, I'd like more Seth too. Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying I have audio proof. He appreciated the more time, and if you want to stay on his good side, that's how you get it. And then the last thing here, and this has just been, I've had the opportunity to produce I've produced at some point in my WIP career, every single hour of the day. I've done overnights, mornings, middays, afternoons, evenings. And I have now hosted overnights, you know, afternoons last week, middays this week, Thanksgiving and Christmas morning. Like, I've now done almost every hour of the day hosting. I think the midday time slot produces the most locked-in callers on the station.
Yeah.
And the reason for that, in mornings, you're kind of building up the call volume a little bit more. People are getting up. Afternoons, maybe it's late in the day. People are going to happy hour, a little bit groggy. They're a little bit tired. Midday is like people are locked in. They're at work. They're on their lunch break. They got to be in and out fast, very efficient. Love the midday show callers.
And that took a lot of coaching and building. I'm looking at the board right now. A lot of regulars I'm seeing there. Appreciate that. That's something that was not immediately the case when Joe, Hugh, and I were all
You're
new.
Saying Seltzer didn't train them well.
Well, no, I mean, like, look, they might have taken some of their callers
to the morning
show, right? Like, it's not a thing that.
But I think there's something about this time slot specifically. It's not even just the people.
Yes. And the only other thing I'll leave you with is that the 1 o'clock hour, 1 p.m. hour on the show
is a little unhinged.
Crazy.
And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. So thank you to everyone who has called so far during the week and we see on hold right now. We got two more hours left to play. Kyle Quinn is going to take over in the driver's seat coming up next, where we're going to get into a little something that Dan Orlovsky said, and we're going to get into what really would make a successful season so far this in this Eagles year.